So it was all set. Then, out of the blue, came the call from Tal Vincent. Stevie knew his fear that the show was being canceled was probably silly. The ratings had been very good right from the start. He'd called Susan Carroll to see if anyone had asked to meet with her. The only call she'd gotten was from USTV's PR guy, who wanted to set up interviews for her during the week in Indianapolis. Stevie had heard nothing about that. "Either he's going to call you later, or he's just figuring whatever I do, you'll do too," she had said. "Or it could be there's a lot more demand for you than me," Stevie said. "You're the glamorous one." "Stop it," she said. "Call me as soon as the meeting's over." Now, the doorbell was ringing, and as Stevie went to answer it, he was filled with dread. "Stevie, how are you?" Mike Shoup said as he came in the door. It was snowing lightly, and both Shoup and Tal Vincent brushed flakes from their hair. Stevie, remembering his manners, offered to take their coats. "Don't bother hanging them up," Shoup said. "You can just toss them on a chair." Stevie did as instructed, then led them into the living room, which was the neatest room in the house because it was the least used. Both men accepted his offer of a drink, saying that a Coke would be just fine. While Stevie was in the kitchen pouring the sodas, he heard his father walk in and greetings being exchanged. He brought the drinks back in, then realized he should have poured one for himself. His mouth was dry. "So," Bill Thomas said, no doubt sensing that Stevie couldn't take much small talk, "what brings you two to Philadelphia on a snowy winter night?" Vincent turned to Shoup, who crossed his legs trying to look casual, Stevie thought. Shoup nodded and cleared his throat. "The show has been great," he said. "As you both know, the ratings are quite solid, especially for a once-a-week show we're still building in terms of promotion. Stevie, you've done everything we've asked." "I sense a butt coming," Bill Thomas said, as if reading his son's thoughts. Shoup leaned forward and took a long sip of his Coke. He put it back on the coaster in front of him and shook his head, as if greatly pained by what he was about to say. "This has been a really tough decision to come to," he said finally. "But everyone agrees we have to make a change." "What kind of change?" Bill Thomas asked. This time it was Shoup who looked at Vincent. The producer said nothing. Clearly, this was Shoup's show. "As you guys both know, we do a lot of market research, a lot of viewer polling on all our shows." "Mike, get to the point," Bill Thomas said. Shoup nodded. "We're bringing in a new co-host." Stevie and his father looked at each other. At first, Stevie was confused. "You mean there will be three of us?" Shoup was shaking his head. "No, Stevie, I'm really sorry. We're replacing you." Stevie hadn't been jumping at shadows. "What about Susan Carroll?" Stevie asked, no doubt a split second before his dad. Shoup laughed, which was interesting since Stevie didn't see a lot of humor in what was going on at that moment. "If her parents would allow it, we'd make her a sports night anchor," he said, referring to the network's nightly news show. "Everyone loves Susan Carroll. She may be more popular than Chris Berman right now." Berman was ESPN's best-known anchor, famous for silly nicknames and bluster. Stevie liked Susan Carroll more than Berman, too, and it didn't surprise him that she was more popular than anyone else on air at USTV. But that wasn't the point, he guessed. "Let me make sure I have this straight," Bill Thomas was saying, his voice calm but filled with a kind of quiet anger Stevie had only witnessed a few times in his life. "You're firing Stevie because you have some surveys or something that say he isn't as popular as Susan Carroll?" Shoup started to say something, but Bill Thomas put up a hand to stop him. "Let me finish. You came into my house 4 months ago and pleaded with us to try this for a year. Now, 3 months in, when by your own admission Stevie has done everything you've asked, you're firing him because someone in marketing is telling you he doesn't have enough sizzle?" If any of this bothered Shoup, it didn't show on his face. "Look, Bill, television isn't always a fair business. Does Susan Carroll know?" Stevie said, breaking in because he had a sudden desire to get out of the room as soon as possible. "No, not yet," Shoup said. "We wanted to tell you first." "She'll quit," Stevie said. "She won't do the show without me." Shoup smiled, the kind of smile people smile when they know something you don't. "That will be her first instinct," he said. "We know she's very loyal to you, Stevie, but we think once she meets her new partner and finds out we're going to honor your contract for the rest of the year." "Honor his contract?" Bill Thomas said, his voice now raised. "You're legally obligated to honor the contract. Don't make it sound like you're doing him a favor." Stevie knew he had tears in his eyes, and he didn't want them to see him cry. He stood up, wanting to get out of the room. "You know, Bobby Kelleher was right about you guys," he said. "Kelleher," Shoup said with the sick smile still on his face. "What was he ever right about?" "He was right when he told Susan Carroll and me that no one who works in TV has a conscience, and that TV work is shallow and meaningless anyway." "But quite lucrative," Shoup said, standing up. "That's why so many print guys have come to work for us." "Not Kelleher," Stevie said. "He turned you down." Shoop laughed. That's because he's a lot more arrogant than he is bright. Stevie, we really have no choice. I'm truly sorry about this. No, you're not, Stevie said. You can go to hell. He glanced at his father to see if he was at all upset with him for using that kind of language with an adult. Shoop looked at Bill Thomas, too, as if waiting for him to admonish his son. Everyone was standing now. You heard him, Stevie's father said. You can start your trip by getting out of our house. The two TV men looked at each other. They picked up their coats and walked out the door without another word.